One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RevMen TV. This is your latest edition of The Deep Dive. My name's Dan Clubb, and I'll be your host this week, and I'm joined by Josh Williams for this one. Josh, how are you doing, my mate? Are we good? Still reveling after that 7-0 rout, I assume?
Yeah, well, that's the topic of this week, isn't it?
I mean, certainly is.
We couldn't ignore that 7-0 win. We didn't expect it. And there's plenty of talking points coming out of the game. How do you feel ahead of your Deep Dive debut?
Oh, pretty much nerves. We're definitely there, but there's no better way to start is than talk about a 7-0 win over Manchester United. You know, we couldn't ignore anything else, could we? Obviously, I'm a late substitution for Chris on this one, but like I say, topics-wise, there's no other story in town as the mate. So if you want to get us straight into it, we are going to take a closer look from a tactical point of view at that demolition job. Where do you want to start?
Well, before we get into it, I think we should just touch on the genetics of the match, really, first. I think Liverpool, obviously, they scored 7 goals from 8 shots on target, which just doesn't tend to happen ever. So I seen Gary Neville say it was a bit of a freak. In essence, it kind of was. But despite that being the case, I think Liverpool had the tactical edge over Man United as well.
Are you saying Liverpool didn't play that well? Is that what you're telling?
Is that what I'm saying? No, don't try and put me in the stuff already. That's like a Chris move, that. But yeah, I think Liverpool played really, really well throughout the game. And I think they kind of dismantled Manchester United's kind of man-marking approach to pressing. That's kind of a Ten Hag approach that he's had associated with his name since his Ajax days.
Yeah.
And Liverpool seems to adopt a bit of a shape that kind of counteracted against that, and we have seen it recently as well.
Yeah, we have. Just on that shape, Josh, I want to take it back just a little bit further. I know we're kind of talking about generally about the game, but take it back to the start, sort of team news-wise, just general thinking, not even so much about the numbers. Were you surprised by the team he selected, given what Man United have been doing, what we've been doing? Were you surprised to see him go Harvey Elliott over Pochettino, for instance?
I was a little bit, yeah. But then I suppose it does make a bit of sense once you factor in the fact that Manchester United are a bit of a man-orientated system.
Because Klopp mentioned, didn't he? So Klopp mentioned his counter-pressing sort of in the build-up to the game, and he never really sort of specifically says why he chose him over him, but he did in this instance. He said he chose Harvey because of his counter-pressing stats. Was that interesting?
Yeah. Well, I think it's his additions on the ball as well is why he was selected for me. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, if you're playing against a man-orientated system, you need to win your individual duels.
Yeah.
And if you're very good technically and your opposite number can't get anywhere near you, then you're going to win your battle then. So I think Liverpool went with a little bit more of a technical midfield in comparison to usual. Mm-hmm. And it certainly benefited us. But I think Liverpool's win primarily stemmed from this kind of tactical edge that we seem to have. Mm-hmm. And we saw it against Newcastle recently. That was when we first kind of saw the first example of it. We've used, obviously, 4-4-2 this season.
Yeah.
We've used 4-3-1-2, which is kind of a diamond. We've went back to 4-3-3. And what I will say is this 4-3-3 that we're currently using, it's still 4-3-3 defensively. Mm-hmm. Not a lot has changed on the defensive side of the game. But with the ball, it does look slightly different. And for those who are viewing, you'll see a graphic on your screen now. And that's kind of what it looked like in action against Newcastle. Obviously, you've got your back four in place. And then rather than having a midfield three, you almost have a bit of a box, really, where Stefan Bessetic, it was at the time, tucks in alongside Fabinho. Mm-hmm. Gakpo tucks in alongside on the same midfield line as Henderson.
Yeah.
And you've got kind of Salah and Nunes playing as like split strikers.
Is that the beauty of having someone like Bacetic, who has played in the six? Is that the beauty of having him on the eight roles? He can do that and he can mix things up that way.
Yeah, well, Henderson's another one who can do that.
Of course, yeah.
Henderson can play in both lines. Harvey Elliott, I think, is well suited to the slightly more offensive. And even Gakpo as well, by the way. Gakpo can play where Nunes is there, really, to an extent.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, I think it helped us against Newcastle because it kind of solved. I thought early in the game, especially, Newcastle were like super aggressive defensively.
Yeah.
And when that's the case, it can be sometimes a bit harder to build the game from the back. I went to a game recently with Chris, I think it was against Wolves, first half of the game. We just couldn't really get out of our own half.
No.
And I think if you've got Gakpo making these movements into deeper areas, like Firmino did, but then you've also got Henderson making those movements and you've got kind of like this 4-2-2-2 thing going on. It's kind of like a ladder, almost, the way it works. And you can progress up the field, like, level by level, almost. And against Newcastle, obviously, Gakpo scored a goal as well. And he kind of performed well throughout the game.
Mm.
And I thought it might have just been a bit of an isolated switch-up for that game. But then we saw it against Manchester United. And as I said, it involves Gakpo moving away from this area towards more of like a... Almost like an advanced number eight, really.
Yeah, do you think he's doing that? Obviously, it's based on instructions as well. It's a really interesting one, the Gakpo stuff, because I did a lot of our expert insight stuff around the Gakpo sign. I spoke to Bolo Zenden, who coached him for years at PSV.
Oh, yeah.
And he never really sort of said he could do that nine role, because I sort of mentioned, is he sort of a successor to Roberto Firmino, which I think we're seeing more and more now, especially with the news that Bobby's leaving. But in this instance, he's sort of taking up a different position to Bobby, isn't he? Because he's not dropping back sort of centrally, he's dropping back and wide.
Yeah.
Is that something you ever seen him doing when we signed him?
No, not really. And the people I spoke to as well surrounding Gakpo's sign also said that, like, when he comes to receiving the ball in these spaces, maybe with pressure from behind, he's a bit inclined to give the ball away, a bit more than Bobby is.
Yeah, they weren't really talking up his ability to do that at all, the people.
No.
It was more of, he can do your left wing, and he might be able to do your nine a little bit, but really, he's your left winger. I've never really seen this coming from him. Clearly, the people at Liverpool, Klopp, Linders, have seen something in him, and that's why we've changed system almost around his signing.
Yeah, but the beauty of what it does is, even though it's kind of like a Firmino-type movement, which he technically shouldn't be that good at, based on what we've heard, at least.
Yeah.
Because he's picking up the ball here. If you think of what he did for PSV, it kind of did involve picking up the ball in these deeper wide spaces and carrying the ball over long distances towards the goal and then maybe taking a shot from outside the box or setting someone else up. So if you think of his responsibilities on the ball when he does this, it's not that dissimilar to what he was doing for PSV when he was picking up the ball in deeper areas and really acting as their main ball carrier and stuff. We've seen him carry the ball for Liverpool already. He's got, you know, big long strides and very athletic and stuff like that. Once he gets past a man, he's basically gone, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I do think overall it benefits Gakpo mainly. But on top of that, you've obviously got Salah and Nunes here as kind of like the threats in behind, you know, the finishes of the system, just almost staying away from the ball, but putting the ball in the net when it gets to this level of the ladder, almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've seen from Salah, obviously, down the years when he had Mane on the other wing and he had Firmino doing that dropping deep stuff. He thrives in that kind of system when there is that striker going in deep. And I think if Gakpo can continue to do that, that'd be massive for him. But do you think that brings the best out of Nunes then in that case as well?
Yeah, well, I think Nunes is not as technically clean, maybe, as Firmino, certainly, and probably Gakpo as well. And I think Nunes makes a bit more sense because he's so rapid, direct, goal-obsessed to an extent.
Yeah.
I think he's better as kind of the finisher of the move. And again, if we look at it as kind of a ladder, you've basically got your holders, your ball progresses, and your finishes. That's kind of how the system's going to look.
Okay.
And I think if you look at how it works, generally, you see like a 4-2-2-2. Ralf Rangnick has been keen on this system in the past. Hasenhüttl has been keen on this system in the past. It feels very Red Bull.
Yes.
But the issue with that is they're very counter-attack, transition. It's not so much about dominance. Okay. So I think this might just be a system where we use it against teams where we're not basically massive favourites.
Yeah, I seen that in the agenda. That was an interesting point, actually. So do you think we'll see this, like you say, against the bigger teams that come to Anfield, maybe necessarily? The teams who might have a bit more possession, your Man Cities of this world. But when we go to different places, potentially Bournemouth this weekend coming up, we'll see a more normal type 4-3-3, maybe with your Jotters involved from the start, potentially?
Yeah, I mean, I could be proved wrong because we do face Bournemouth as soon as this weekend, don't we?
But it is a very quick short turnaround on what we're saying here, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but the week we've got coming up, where we face Chelsea,
City, Arsenal
in the same week, I think we could see this a lot because, as I said, it aids what we're doing in transition, whereas when we're the dominant side and the whole game's getting taken place here, the 4-2-2-2 tends to encounter like some structural problems because it's not so well suited to breaking down like a low block or whatever. That's why Rangnick started to encounter some issues with United.
He did do, didn't he? And he got kind of criticised for it as well. And it's interesting how he'd get so heavily criticised for it, and Hasenhüttl to a certain extent too. But yet when we adopt it, from what you're saying here, it seems to be a formation, a system that suits us really nicely. So it's strange. Yeah. It's horses for courses, I suppose, isn't it? If we... Do you think then, Josh, I know we're talking off-piste here a little bit, do you think we've kind of fell upon this system with the signing of Gakpo maybe? Or do you think he's had this in mind for a while now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't really know, to be honest. I think that the plan was, it looks like the plan has always been for Gakpo to kind of become this next Firmino.
Yeah,
maybe. But I think maybe working with him for the past month or two, whatever it's been, maybe we've seen that he is a really strong ball carrier. He does like the wide areas. We saw his opening goal against United. It stemmed from a wide area, didn't it?
Yeah.
So doing this would allow Gakpo to just perform, as I said, like he does at PSV. So I don't know, really. I mean, Klopp's tried a lot of things this season, as I said, 4-4-2, four, you know, diamonds and things like that.
Yeah.
This is his latest kind of trick. But the difference is this one seems to be working quite well.
Yeah, we'll stick to it then in that case. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, whereas the past ones were a bit more problematic at times, weren't they?
They were indeed, yeah. So just back on the game then, I know you want to go through it a bit more detail, but it was a story of two halves, wasn't it, the match, really? How did you see that from a tactical point of view? We're both, because I looked at momentum charts earlier on SofaScore, and the first half was very even. There was kind of clear patterns whereby both teams had sort of periods in the ascendancy.
Yeah.
Obviously, we get the goal towards the end of the half, but then second half was just a blitz, wasn't it? How do we really wrestle control of this contest?
Yeah, well, it's difficult because I think from the off, we were really, really good. I think United had maybe a 10-15 minute period towards the end of the second half where he started to come into the game and create a few chances a little bit. But I thought overall, listening to the game, I don't know if you were listening to the Sky commentary at the time.
Yeah, we had it on the day.
I thought Gary Neville was overly complimentary towards United. I felt like he's got this obsession with getting through the first 20 minutes at Anfield. And when his team do that, It's essentially a victory in his eyes.
I think he actually called it the perfect away performance at one point midway through the first half. So you are right in that point, yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know, when it comes to the half time, they were 1-0 down. He seemed really confident that the United were going to go on and just pummel Liverpool out of nowhere, really. And I think in the second half, Liverpool just kind of persisted with the original game plan, which seemed to be like switch the play a lot, use Andy Robertson as the free man a lot. And basically get United in transition and really disorganise them. Because one of the issues with Gakpo taking up these spaces, despite starting here, was Varane didn't really know where to go. He was kind of torn between posts. And I think when Gakpo ends up scoring the opening goal, which was still in the first half, I think he's getting marked by Fred, you know, who's centre mid. So that's one of the downsides, I suppose, of a man-orientated system. But yeah, this 4-2-2-2 is interesting, and it's kind of under the radar, and I think it's not a wholesale change because we still are playing 4-3-3.
Yeah,
but it's just whether before we get through the Chelsea, Arsenal, City week, maybe we can still catch them with the element of surprise if we're still using this.
Absolutely,
I don't think people are expecting it.
No, it does.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Different types of problems as well for defenders, like you mentioned. You mentioned Fred sort of not knowing whether to go with him, does end up going with him. Varane's having the same sort of battle within himself as well. But do you think this system, with the personnel that we have in this particular side, do you think that's a role that Nunes can perform as well in terms of the Gakpo role, dropping deep into there? Or is that totally against what he wants to do? He seems like a player to me that wants to be off the shoulder, in behind. If we go, because those two interchange quite a little bit, I've noticed.
Yeah.
If it just so happens that we've got Gakpo out wide and Nunes through the middle, Nunes can't do the same sort of things, can he? So we'll have to play a different way.
Yeah. No, it's an insistent point again, mate. I don't think I can see Nunes doing it, if I'm honest.
No.
And to be honest, I can't overly see Firmino doing it. And I think this kind of captures the, I suppose, the interest and profile that we've got with Gakpo, in that he is a wide forward, can kind of play as a false nine.
Yeah.
But you can also almost see him as like an advanced number eight, really, can't you? Yeah. He's like a really versatile player. Klopp touched on that when we signed him. But despite that, Nunes not really being overly suited to this role, I do think that we've got the attackers to kind of really mix it up here. Like, you know, you've got Diaz to come back. Jota, I'm not sure if Jota can do it, but he can certainly play here. We've got lots of options. Carvalho can potentially do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Harvey Elliott suits this one right here. So we've got lots of options, and that's the beauty of getting players back for the business end of the season, really. We've got a system there that can be exploited by these players.
Absolutely. Have you been... You've been caught by surprise then, in some senses, by Gakpo and just how versatile he is and just how much he offers. Because I certainly have been personally. Like I say, from the people I spoke to when we signed him, I expect him we got a good player. But I think we've seen in this game in particular, he went up a level. And not just in numbers and quality, but in terms of his tactical awareness, his intelligence, it sounds like he's gone up a level again.
Yeah, well, I think I did read that while he was in Holland. I think did he have his own tactical coach?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, right, I think he's paying for his own tactical coach, like a personal thing.
Oh, nice, yeah, yeah.
And I think Klopp's touched on since he come in, one of the reasons he's playing through the middle is because essentially he's just better defensively than Nunes is, in terms of like his position and his experience. Obviously, he speaks the language. But I think he had a shaky start when he first came to the club. Wasn't anywhere near bad or anything like that, but he obviously didn't score, didn't assist for a few games. But I think now Everton seems to have settled a little bit. He's getting into his stride and he's starting to show exactly why we bought him, really. And I think considering he's only 23, I think, and he's been at the club for 2 months now, I think if we start to get used to him as players around him, start to get familiar with his skills and stuff like that, I think he's got a lot of skills attached to his game to the extent where he could become like one of the best players in the league, really, one of the most influential forwards in the league.
Yeah, we'll take that, absolutely will. So just moving on a little bit then, obviously second half, we've already said it was a bit absolute blitz. You've already touched upon some of the key elements tactically that made us get the advantage over Manchester United, but sort of in the most simple term, what was it about this 4-2-2-2 formation that made us just dominate and made them capitulate? If you like, you mentioned sort of the extra man and them not knowing where to go. What was it about this formation that did that to them?
Yeah, well, I think predominantly, if you look at Liverpool's 4-3-3 and United's 4-2-3-1, on paper, it should have been a really nice matchup for them in a man-orientated sense, because they were just able to go man for man in most areas of the park and essentially do similar to what they did at Old Trafford earlier in the season. But I think it just caught them off guard. There was an element of surprise there, which is always nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on top of that, with them being man-orientated, we just really disorganised them, and players were popping, Nunes was popping up here at times, Gakpo was here, Elias was playing in and around Casemiro. We've had a bit of a nightmare of a game.
He did have a nightmare, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just, I think I saw one move actually where I think the ball was around here, and the player here running in behind was Trent at one point.
Yes, he did that a bit actually, second half. I don't know whether he was getting carried away with how the game was going, and he thought, well, if they're all scoring and get involved, I'll do the same. But yeah, I think the Trent stuff is definitely an interesting point. And were you surprised at all They were surprised by us, by the sounds of it, in terms of the way we set up. But were you surprised by their approach, and in particular, about Weghorst in the 10?
Yeah, I think they got it wrong, if I'm honest, up front. I was expecting, we previewed the game, and I was expecting Rashford to come up against Trent, obviously. Yeah. You know, Rashford's their informed player. Mm-hmm. Going into the game, he'd scored 17 and 19. Can I say, is Bach a really good player?
Yeah.
But we was at the game against Wolves, and he looked a bit shaky, like he'd just come back from an injury. You could kind of tell that. So I expected to see that. Rashford over here, Bruno in his usual role.
Yeah.
But Ten Hag switched it up for whatever reason. Maybe looking to get Rashford a little bit higher so we can threaten him behind. But then you're in a race then with Konate and Virgil. So, I mean, Rashford's quick, but so are they. So
I know, and it's not only just how quick they are, it's the fact that those two are likely to be at home. So if Rashford is going to go in behind, they're not going to be too far away. Whereas Trent, we know, is going to be up here. If he wants to be up here at the very least, you know what I mean? So I think, and from what you're saying, I think Ten Hag might have got it. Has he overcomplicated it? I heard people saying he sort of pepped himself in the Champions League a little bit after the game. Is that fair to say? I know we've got it right, and we've kind of touched on how right we've got it.
Yeah.
But is it fair to say that Ten Hag got it massively wrong in this one?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, even down here, he went for Dalot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Over Wan-Bissaka. Now, I can see why he might maybe did that in a possession sense, because obviously if Wan-Bissaka's a bit dodgy on the ball, isn't he? So he can press him into mistakes. But Dalot didn't look any more reassured, really, did he?
No.
And as you say, going forward, I think Rashford did play up top, to be fair, in the Old Trafford game. But I think in that time, they didn't have... I think they had a few injuries or something. Weghorst wasn't in the club at the time.
No.
So I think he could have played Rashford here. As a result of playing Rashford there, Trent maybe thinks twice about going forward as much. But he didn't. He just left Rashford there with Virgil and Konate for the full game.
Yeah.
And it just kind of allowed Liverpool to commit bodies forward from here and onwards. Really mix up positionally and disorganise United. And I thought it was... on top of being a really top finishing display, obviously, finishing 7 out of 8 shots on target, it was the tactical masterclass as well.
Yeah, it was. It certainly was. Yeah, like you say, them getting it wrong and us getting it absolutely spot on. I want to touch on, before we sort of start to wrap up, I want to touch on Mohamed Salah with you. Because it was just, you don't even need to come into tactics for this one, it was just a masterclass, wasn't it? I'd seen early on SofaScore, we got 10. You don't see that very often on SofaScore. He was untouchable, wasn't he?
Yeah, I heard about that, actually. I think when he plays like that, mate, he's... He is untouchable. He's right up there with, if not the best player in the league, certainly, you know, as close as you get into that. And I think he reminds me a little bit of like a Premier League version of Lionel Messi when he's like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he's playing on the same side, he's left-footed, and as well as merging, as well as offering like an obvious scoring threat, which he did, he scored twice in the game, he's just super creative as well. And when it comes to like progressing the ball up the field, dribbling, you know, he made a show of Lisandro Martinez, didn't he?
So the butcher.
Yeah, he's just a serious performance from such a player that I don't know why he gets doubted still, because he's just so special.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I said sort of in the post-match stuff, like he's got his goals this season. We know he's already above 20 and that's all boss, but he has been not as sort of prominent in matches sometimes. He goes through a bad game, then he gets his goal and sort of forgotten about. But Sunday, that was a masterclass. And it just, for me, it shows how well he's playing when he is giving them assists. He's getting those passes right, he's getting those progressions right, he's dribbling at people. When he's sort of full of confidence and sort of at the top of his game, that's a Mohamed Salah we can all enjoy, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he was absolute top performance and one of the best I've seen, I think. And I think he seems to be doing that more and more with time in these big games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Manchester City see that version of Salah pretty often, I think. And I think, is he now like Liverpool's top scorer against Man United or something in the Premier League like that?
Yeah,
maybe
overtaking
Gerrard a bit,
So
yeah, just such a special player, nightmare for opponents to defend against, available every single week.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously we touch on concerns around him when he's maybe not as involved or whatever, but I always think when that's the case, look at what else is going on. And if the system isn't particularly functional, Salah's probably going to suffer. Whereas if this, look at Rashford, for example, on the opposite side, he's had a nightmare a few seasons because the squad has had a nightmare. Only takes Ten Hag to come in, organise things a little bit more, presents him with a better platform to do what he does, and Rashford starts finding the net all the time. Liverpool play well against United and Salah takes the spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll let you have the final say on the tactical side of things, Josh. So you've kind of already touched upon the new formation and the 4-2-2-2 and when we might see it, but just Just to finish, like, how often do you think we might see this? And sort of personnel-wise, do you think it is only this 11 that we'll see it with, or do you think he'll mix and match it now between now and the end of the season?
I think we will see this more when we are facing level opposition in terms of, like, quality. Mm-hmm. And I also think we'll see it maybe a bit more, maybe when we have a lead and opponents need to commit bodies forward. Mm-hmm. When that happens, we can maybe prosper a bit more on the break.
Yeah.
In transition on a counter-attack and stuff. And in that sense, it makes sense because, as I said, it offers a bit of a ladder for you in terms of progressing up the pitch. And in terms of certain players coming in, I think Gakpo is probably the key for it, really, considering that ability to operate as a 9/10/wide player/8.
Mm.
That's really unique, that, like.
Yeah. No, it is, yeah.
And I think Diaz can come here, Jota can come here, and both on this side as well. Elliot over here.
Mm-hmm.
You have got options there.
Gakpo is
the key to an extent, yeah.
Yeah, sounds like it, mate. Yeah. And I've got to ask you before you go, and I thought of this question as we were talking. in terms of signings potentially this summer, which obviously the sort of key topic around all of this, if we are going to see this formation a lot more, or indeed any other formation that we've tried or haven't tried, because there's been loads muted and loads sort of attempted this season, if we were to sign that man that we really want, he's not even a man yet, though, I think, Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
How well does he suit this?
Do you know what? We did quite well to get through an episode there without mentioning
it. Was
his
never going to happen.
Yeah,
I was never leaving this desk until I mentioned the name Jude Bellingham.
I don't think he plays the Gakpo role.
No.
I think he could play as one of the two sitters.
Okay.
He has done that for Dortmund this season. He's done it for England as well. Probably this one here as well is probably well suited to him, because when you've got when you're defending, that would mean he's an 8. And when you've got the ball, it means he's kind of progressing up here a little bit. And we've seen he can nick a goal, can he, and things like that. So I think Bellingham is probably as versatile as Gakpo in terms of just being able to contribute no matter where you play him. You know, he's 19. He's already got a lot of experience as a 6, as an 8, and as a 10 as well. So Bellingham's not going to be a problem no matter where he plays.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, mate. Yeah, well, that'll be all we've got time for this episode of The Deep Dive. Thank you very much to Josh for joining me and guiding me through my Deep Dive debut. I hope it wasn't too bad for you. I tried my level best to get all the tactical stuff right. If you enjoyed that and you'd like more content just like it, all the other Deep Dive episodes are available now on RedMen Plus. So head over there, sign up as a Club Captain monthly subscriber, enter the code DEEP and you will get it for 50% off for the first 3 months. That's just £2.50 a month. That's less than a coffee. Go and do it now, and we will see you again soon. See you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.